when science fiction becomes true. That's the kind of world that we are living in today. Just as not too long ago, relatively speaking, going to the moon, traveling to the moon, was only a thing conceived of in science fiction comics and TV shows, and then traveling to the moon became a reality. Today, you and I are living in a world where all of these technological breakthroughs are happening, and happening at increasing speed. Things that which just even a couple years ago only seemed to us the stuff of science fiction. You know, Star Trek, Star Wars, Doctor Who, stuff like that. Today we are going to consider in this Facing the Future series, but today we're going to consider as a part of that, aliens. Extraterrestrials. Let's say that word together. Extraterrestrials. In our culture, aliens conjure up a cornucopia of connotations. Advanced, distant, highly evolved civilizations. Planetary invasions. Hostile, non-human forms of life. Conspiracy theories. Area 51. And more. Though not all depictions of aliens are hostile. Perhaps most notably is the alien featured in the 1982 blockbuster movie, E.T., who befriends the young boy, Elliot. If you've seen that film, raise your hand. We should do it appropriately, though. All right. Now, the most pressing question about aliens is whether they exist. Opinions vary. Many, many claims are made. But as of yet, there is no conclusive, at least widely known evidence that they do. We live in what galaxy do we live in? Milky Way, that's right. And that's just one galaxy, part of this huge universe. The universe is vast, and we think about aliens, well, the universe is vast, and we don't really know that much about the universe. And in our, what was our galaxy again? Milky Way, right. And according to the Book of Common Prayer, our Milky Way galaxy contains our fragile Earth, our island home. But there's also a bunch of other planets which aren't that far from us. Maybe some of you know some of their names. Be loud, be proud.
Mars.
Jupiter. Mercury. Venus. And sorry, Pluto does not count. Yeah. And the Hubble telescope reveals to us something like 100 billion other galaxies. That's unfathomable. I cannot fathom that. I mean, I can sort of fathom 1,000 bottles of red Gatorade, sort of, but I cannot fathom 100 billion galaxies. And adding to the probability and near certainty in many people's minds is that scientists have discovered other planets. Bunches of other planets. We're talking 5,000 other planets. And that's just in our own galaxy alone, never mind all of the rest of them. So do math. Is it statistically likely that we are alone? Now wait, why are we talking about this? This is a church, right? Why are we talking about this topic? Did I lose a bet? The Cardinals lose and then I have to preach on aliens? Actually, they won yesterday. So seriously, what does aliens have to do with Christian faith? And certainly this is a new question, right? Christians have just started thinking about this in the last couple of years, right? Well, not exactly. My 13th century Dominican brother, the patron saint of scientists, Albert Magnus, wrote these words in the 13th century. One of the most wondrous and noble questions about nature is whether there is one world or many.
And C.S. Lewis, anyone heard of him? The great 20th century writer, fellow Episcopalian, Anglican, put it this way. Our loyalty is not due to our species, but to God. Those extraterrestrials who are or can become his sons are our real brothers, even if they have shells or tusks. It is spiritual, not biological kinship that counts. Now hold on a second. What is C.S. Lewis saying? Is he saying that aliens are our spiritual sisters and brothers? If that's true, does that mean they can be baptized? Back in 2014, Pope Francis commented on such a possibility. So hold your thoughts, though, for a second about alien baptism. Just hold your thoughts about alien baptism. We'll talk about that some other time. And let's briefly consider the scope of Christian faith. Is Christian faith primarily an earth-centric faith, or is it a cosmic faith? What do you think? Yeah, I hear both responses. You can make a good argument for both. But ultimately, if you look at the deep theology of the faith, it is a cosmic faith. Though to be fair, for the last 2,000 years or so, Christianity has largely focused its attention on human life and what might be called an earth-centric point of view. But again, if you look at the high theology, the depths of Christianity, you see that its intention was to be cosmic. There's all sorts of little examples of this. One is found in Psalm 33, verse 6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry hosts, by the breath of his mouth. We'll let the alien police pass by. God, who is beyond male and female, is also not simply the God of earth, but as the Nicene Creed puts it, is the God of all that is seen and unseen. Seen by the human eye, seen by the telescopic eye, unseen by human and scientific eyes. God is not just the God of earth, but God is the creator of this galaxy, all galaxies, the universe, therefore any other forms of intelligent life out there. Did you know that for centuries, Christians have believed in other forms of intelligent, non-human life? For centuries. This old hat. People have believed this for many years. Say, what? Yes. Angels would be one example of Christians believing in non-human forms of intelligence. And so, the possible existence of aliens just means, well, that's something else that God created, or someone else's that God created. It doesn't detract from Christian faith. Rather, it simply humbles us at the majesty and mystery of God and of all creation. Artificial intelligence is different, but we're going to talk about that next week. Several years ago, a priest went to a paranormal convention at Shooting Star Casino in Menomon, Minnesota. And there were psychics, and there were paranormal investigators, and there were sci-fi actors and actresses and witches. And the priest wore a long black robe with his collar, and he was the only visible Christian presence at the convention. Like, none of the speakers, all the seminars, all the multiplicity of booths. The only visible Christian presence. Lots of people talked to this priest. And as the priest made his way through this hall full of all these weird and wonderful booths about all these topics and things, he came across a booth dedicated to UFOs. And the UFO guy was kind of surprised, like most people at the convention, to see a priest at that paranormal place, that paranormal event. For my part, I was kind of surprised to see a UFO guy there, because because UFOs are usually thought of as creatures, not spirits.
So we had an interesting check.
The bottom line is this. Whether or not there are aliens, whether or not they become widely known in our lifetimes, does not change the basic calling that you and I have as Christians. And that is to become fully human, and despite our failures and our mistakes, to walk more fully toward the light. In today's reading from our own St. John, he tells us that light, that ultimate light, is God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. God is light. Let's all say that together. God is light. Aliens or not, you have a life to live. A gospel light of forgiveness, mercy, and service to follow in this sometimes dark and difficult world. And that same light to shine into the lives of other people. However, you and I should not be afraid to walk through this science convention-like world that we are currently living in. Now, with all these new breakthrough technologies, all this new stuff, should some of that have limits? Yes. Are there dangers to some of this stuff?
Yes.
Absolutely. Do not be naive. Will there be things that we should push back against as people of faith? Yes. And there will be good things as well. But the bigness of the universe, even a universe that contains aliens, does not detract from the bigness of God. Rather, it reveals to us, like staring at a twinkling nighttime sky does, the golden, gleaming wonder of God, and the memorizing, magnolia mystery of Christian faith. Amen.